Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 11. 2 Samuel, chapter 11. And as I look at these scriptures, through the 11th chapter and then through the first 25 verses of the second Samuel, chapter 12, I pray the Lord's blessing. Before we begin, let's ask. Father, again this morning, we come before You, and we realize that, Lord, it is by Your grace, mercy, compassion that we're here. I pray that You bless the services, bless the Word to the comfort of Your people, the salvation of Your people. I pray Your kingdom come. The church, the bride, that You've everlastingly loved. Lord, honor Yourself today. I pray that what is preached and heard might be for the blessing, the comfort of Your saints, and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. In this morning's message, this first message, I would like to deal with David's rebellion against God. And as we read these blessed scriptures, 2 Samuel 11, 2 Samuel 12, I want us to be mindful of the fact that David is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a man after God's own heart. This is a believer. And as we set forth in the reading of these scriptures, let us be mindful, but for the grace of God, there go we. May the Lord bless these words of Holy Scripture to the honor of our precious Savior and for our comfort. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 to 5. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. The woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her. She was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent, and told David, and said, "I am with child." The Holy Spirit sets forth in this scripture concerning this man, a man after God's own heart, something that is painfully honest. We can but feel the distress of his actions. And we do ask ourselves, but for the grace of God, would I do that? We can't soften what God the Holy Spirit has written And we dared not justify David's actions. The woman that David lusted after was the wife of a trusted friend, a soldier. And David, in sinning against God, injured his friend in the tenderest point. As we see the transgression of men, even the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow to our Lord and we agree with Job under the inspiration of God's Spirit in Job 7:17. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him? Psalm 8:4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? 2 Samuel 11:6-9. And David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David, and when Uriah was coming to him, David demanded of him how Joab did, how the people did, how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to thy house and wash thy feet." And Uriah departed out of the king's house. There followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. I want you to notice the progress of rebellion. David called Uriah home. He wasn't interested in how the battle was going. How's Joab doing? How the people doing? How's it going? That wasn't what he was interested in. He thought by Uriah coming home, going home, be with his wife, everybody would think he knows that Bathsheba is with child. If Uriah comes home, stays with his wife, all of this will be swept under the carpet. Nobody will know. But Uriah didn't go. And therefore, Almighty God was going to expose David. 2 Samuel 10-13. And when they had told David, saying, "Uriah went not down unto his house," David said to Uriah, "Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thine house?" And Uriah said unto David, "The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents in my lord Joab, and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house and eat, to drink, and to lie with my wife? As thou livest, and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." And David said to Uriah, "Tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart." So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. In the very midst of David's continued attempts to cover himself, God overruled. I say, well, it just appears as though to me that Uriah was so honorable. He was. That's it. Here he is. David saying, "Go, you be with your wife," and he said, "The ark, Israel. They're out there in the mud, battle and the fighting. And I'm telling you, you got to say that what respect. There were his men out there dying. I'm not going to do this. The Holy Spirit allows nothing to be kept back to interfere with David's exposure. You think, you know, if a man had written this, he would say, you know, we're going to have to clean this up. I mean, we can't put everything in here. And here, the Spirit of God sets forth in absolute clarity exactly what is within every believer, an old man. When Paul says, there is in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. Boy, there's a sense in which we can kind of read over that, you know, kind of against the air. And then when we read it and see exactly, but for the sustaining grace of God, this is every one of us. This is every believer, but for God's grace. But for the hand of restraint of Almighty God. Everything that could give the most obvious representation of man's depravity and shame is set forth. Preachers are standing up and they're saying, there's a little good in every man. That's a lie. That's a lie. Psalm 14:2. The Lord looked down to see if there were any that did seek. There was none. None. Man is a desperately evil creature. Verses 14 to 17. It came to pass on the morrow that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. I read that again this morning and I thought, here's Uriah carrying the letter from David. Going to give it to Joab. Joab, I would say, would probably be like the general. Here, this is from the king. And he wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were. The men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the service of David. Uriah the Hittite died also. Got this letter. Uriah is to be put where the valiant men are. Those that don't back down. Those that will take the fight all the way to the end if necessary. Put him in the forefront of it. Where is the depth of man's depravity? Except the Lord restrain him. David was trying to conceal the sin of adultery. And when he couldn't get Uriah the Hittite to come in and go and be with his wife, he said, I'll just have him killed. Now that's what I'll do. David did not care how many men were affected. Man by nature, it doesn't matter who gets hurt. It's all about me. I'm going to cover this thing. I'm going to hide this thing. Here we see, except for the grace of God, here we see the absolute wickedness of man. Oh, it is only by the backdrop of what we are by nature that the grace of God is made to be gloriously precious. In regeneration, a new nature, is imparted that sinneth not. There's a new nature in a believer. But I want you to know one thing afresh. Know it again. Nothing is changed in that old nature. Nothing is changed in that old man. Nothing. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit. And the flesh and the spirit strives against each other. That in regeneration is a new nature imparted. Man, woman is given something that they did not have before. This, and by the good pleasure and the wisdom of God's Spirit caused these words to be written. To set forth to God's people what we are by nature. This is what we are. And as I stand here and read these words, I can't look at this man right here and say, I can't believe this man would do this. No, I tell you what I see. But for the grace of God, that's exactly what I do. But for God's grace, I absolutely will. Verses 18 to 21. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war, and charged the messenger, saying, when thou hast made an end of telling the matters of the war unto the king, and if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, wherefore approached thee so nigh to the city when you did fight? Knew ye not that they would shoot from the wall? Who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal? Did not a woman cast a piece of millstone upon him from the wall, that he died in the Tebez? Why went ye nigh the wall? Then say thou, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead. Joab told the messenger, he said, go back and tell the king what's happened. There's no record that Joab knew what was going on. Joab's a soldier. He takes orders. The king told him, put Uriah the Hittite in the heat of the battle, where the valiant men are, that he died. I read that and I thought, Joab wasn't going to write the king back to say, now, you need to explain to me why. He did exactly what he was told. He knew from the letter, obviously, that the king was displeased or something was wrong. He did exactly what the king told him to do. Uriah died, and that man went back. David told him, he said, you go and you tell the king what happened. And if the king gets mad, if he starts to be angry, if he starts to say, why did you go so close? Why were you so close to the wall? Don't you know they shoot? How about the woman that threw that piece of a millstone over him and killed? Why? He said, if the king's wrath rises, he's angry, then you say, Uriah the Hittite's dead. It's bad enough that a man is rebel against God, but how horrible the effects of his depravity upon others. Verses 22 to 25. So the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent him for. And the messenger said unto David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out unto us into the field, and we were upon them even unto the entering of the gate. And the shooters shot from off the wall upon the servants, and some of the king's servants be dead. And thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. And David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make the battle more strong against the city and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. How someone might ask, how somebody be so cold, so insensitive? Came back and told David what had happened, and he hears of the death of his soldiers and friends. The only thing that he thinks, now when he heard that Uriah the Hittite was dead, it's like he's so glad. Basically what he said right here, he said, well, you know, war is war. I mean, things happen. Give Joab my best. You read, that's exactly what he said. When he heard that Uriah was dead, no remorse, no feeling, insensitive. Lord, is this the nature in me? Yes, sir. Verse 26 and 27, when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house. She became his wife, bear him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. How sad. Uriah had come home. She never said anything about it. She was already with child. Didn't ask him for pardon. Now the official time is over. Speedy marriage, obviously. She being with child. People knowing that Uriah didn't go down with her. This is going to be a scandalous thing in the eyes of the people. But the heart of the matter was summed up by the last words of the chapter. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Every man born in Adam. This is man by nature. I want you to look and Isaiah 1. Isaiah chapter 1. I just want to read it. Two verses. Why should you be, verse 5 and 6, I'm sorry. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. This first chapter, chapter 11, this exposes what men are by nature. This is it. We talk about the depravity of man. This is the way that man, born in Adam, is. Having seen, therefore, David's sin in chapter 11, let's just look at the first 25 verses. I'll just do them just like I did chapter 11. And consider God's exposure of that sin. But when I say God's exposure of that sin, my friend, we will behold in this chapter the indescribable mercy of God. Mercy. Mercy is for those that are helplessly unable. 2 Samuel 12, verses 1 to 4. 2 Samuel 12, verses 1 to 4. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And I read those words a few minutes ago just for this. And I just, in my heart, I wanted to just shout, oh, the grace of God. That God would send a preacher. That God Almighty would have mercy and send unto a depraved, helpless, evil sinner. That God would send His Word. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him. He said unto him, there were two men in one city. the one rich and the other poor. And the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb which he had bought, nourished up, grew up together with him. And with his children he did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom, was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man, but that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. At least 9 months has passed since David sinned with Bathsheba. Because in just a few minutes we're going to find out this baby's already been born. 9 months. Now you think about this. 9 months. And God sends a prophet. God sends a preacher. And with there being no mention whatsoever between the last chapter and this chapter, there's no mention whatsoever of David's remorse, his hurt, of his rebellion. Almost a year, 9 months for sure. It's gone. And God sends this preacher. Man is utterly incapable of recovering himself first from the death of being an unregenerate. He is incapable of calling himself out of spiritual darkness. We'll all agree with that. But I'll tell you this. But for the grace of God, man is incapable of recovering himself from rebellion, even in a state of being regenerated. The Lord said, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Absolutely. You remember, David is not an unbeliever. This is a believer. Grace must penetrate and give a sense of man's sin. Man will not do it himself. And we think, I tell you, if I did something like that, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't do this. You couldn't sleep or you wouldn't do that by the grace of God. But for the grace of God, there is no depth to our rebellion. And there is no depth to the lack of calling upon the Lord and asking for forgiveness. If God removes His hand of restraint from His people, there is no end to what they would do. No end. After Nathan read that, verse 5 and 6, David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and shall restore the land, the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and because he had no pity." I want you to look in your margin. If you got a margin, if not, I'll just read you what I said. When David said in verse 5, "The man that hath done this thing shall surely die," my margin says, "is worthy to die," or "is a son of death." David said, a man that would do that, that man's an unbeliever. He's a son of death. Only an unbeliever would do something like that. Only a rebel against God that had never beheld anything of the grace of God. Only an unbeliever would do that. Verse 7, Nathan said to David, boy, how these words, can you only imagine what these words did? And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor. He shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son, for thou didst it secretly. But I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Oh. The sting of God's conviction. When God's word comes in power to the objects of His mercy, my friend, no sooner. And as I said before, where the Spirit of God was blatantly honest with what we are by nature, God's preachers must set forth blatantly honest and be honest with men and women. This is what we are by nature. And the mercy of Almighty God, this is where a believer, reading those words, you say, how did he go 9 months with no remorse, no how? My friend, if we only knew what He redeemed us from, being made sin. When He, on that cross, He had made Him sin, and God Almighty dealt with us in a substitute. All that the Father had given Christ, Christ was made to be what they are. And David said, only an unbeliever could act like that. And Nathan said, you're the man. Oh, I've sinned against God. And as soon as David said, I have sinned against God. Nathan the prophet says, the Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die eternally. I mean, physically died. No sooner did David confess what he was before God, and God Almighty pardoned him. Oh, the efficacy of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you, Lord. You mean even somebody like this? My friend, that's all of us. What do you mean, somebody like this? That is us. We're the problem. We're the rebels. The Scripture says, verse 14, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that was born unto thee shall surely die. Oh, how thankful we are for pardon, pardoning grace, merciful grace. But in the midst of God's pardon and mercy, how thankful we are. Oh, that the blood covers. But you mark this down. A believer in the very rejoicing of his heart lifts his heart in praise unto God and thankfulness unto God for God's grace in the precious fountain that's open for sin. He grieves over what he is. Nathan the prophet told him, he said, "You cause the enemies of the Lord, outside and inside, the tares within the body and those that did not in it, you caused them to blaspheme." The adversaries of Christ to speak reproachfully concerning him. Oh, by the conviction and grace of God's Spirit, a believer would rather die than dishonor the Lord. Amen. I think about that, Brother Scott, that thing when he was saved, there's no more tears, no more. One of the things I remember that he wrote on there is he said there would be no more disrespect of God, no more dishonoring him. This is a believer right here. Here's a believer. In myself, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. But to hear the precious words, God has forgiven your sin. Oh, the preciousness of hearing that word, forgiven. Lord, is it that you have forgiven me? Lord, is it that you have looked upon me in your precious Son? Lord, have mercy on this sinner. Verse 15 to verse 23, "And Nathan departed unto his house. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David. And it was very sick." And I've heard people say, sickness is never of the Lord. Sickness is always of the devil. "And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and he was very sick. And David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken to our voice. How would he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But David saw his servants whispered. And David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He's dead. And David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. And he came to his own house. And when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. And said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to man, that the child may live? But now he's dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back? I shall go to him, but he shall not return unto me." The prophet did the very thing that he could, that he was commanded. He delivered God's message, and he left David with the Lord. What else can a preacher do? I hear this message, and I preach, and I declare. When we preach the gospel, the good news, the thing that the Spirit of God has been pleased to manifest is good news. Is good news when the Spirit of God has revealed the bad news. What we are by nature. And then cause a man or a woman to see what they are and to rejoice in the indescribable grace of Almighty God. That preacher did what God sent him to do. I'm a voice. A voice. If I failed to preach the Scriptures exactly the way God sets them forth, is that faithfulness? No. These are the words of God. Precious words of God. That baby's going to die. And the Scripture sets forth that David prayed and fasted. How long before the baby would die? How long will God cause this child to be here? I don't know. How long before God takes this baby? The baby is going to die. I know this. But how long? How long? Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? I know this. We're going to die. I know that. But who can tell whether God might be merciful to your children, my children, my grandchildren? As I've said before, to your wife, to your husband, your mama, your daddy. Who can tell? Who can tell? David, by God's grace and mercy, was made to see what he is by nature. God sent a prophet. God told him this is what's going to happen. And David believed it. And David sought the Lord and asked God to have mercy. Who could tell? My friends and Marvin, listen. Ask. Ask. Who can tell? Maybe God will save yours. Maybe God will have mercy. God might be pleased to call yours out of darkness. Maybe the Lord will save one of mine. Who can tell? Verse 24-25, David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. How mysterious and unsearchable are the ways of God. Through this vile instance of rebellion, God was pleased to show mercy. David and Bathsheba were wrong. No amount of justification would be found for their sin. But God, who is rich in mercy, God shows mercy and compassion to whomsoever He will. They had a boy, David and Bathsheba did. God had mercifully taken that first child. God took that child in mercy and grace. David, Bathsheba would not have to go through their life seeing that child, remembering. God took that baby. David's truth, the truth set forth by David, he can't come back to me, I go to him. I believe according to Scriptures that in the eternal covenant of God's grace, and somebody say, explain that to me, I can't explain the eternal covenant of God's grace, but based upon that word right there, I believe that God Almighty has mercy on these infants. But they gave David and Bathsheba another son, Solomon. I think about Solomon, one of the wisest men. God bless that man. You think, how can these things be? He said, I'm a just God and a Savior, merciful, kind. Lord, is it so that you might show mercy to me? Lord, can you show mercy to this sinner? The prophet came and called his name Jedidiah. Jedidiah was not a name that was contrary of the name Solomon, but it was a name that says, beloved of the Lord. May God bless these words. In the beholding, with the backdrop of man's sin, rebellion, and the depth, somewhat, as we look, that in spite of what we are by nature, God so loved the order of man that He purposed. He was not going to let this order be obliterated. God sent His only begotten Son. The man in Him, through Him, by Him, I have life. David's rebellion and God's mercy to show rebellion. And Lord willing, in the next message, I'm going to preach out of Psalm 51, David's confession. And the heart of a regenerated, revived, renewed sinner against God, saved by the grace of God. May God bless these words to our heart in Christ's name.